Hey, Canyon Ridge, we are excited to jump back in to something we call For Life. For Life is a pattern of life that we've been trying to develop here, where periodically in each season, after a couple or 3 months at a time, we have a conversation with God, where we ask him about the last couple or 3 months and what he's been up to. And we imagine forward what the next couple or 3 months might look like. And then we give energy in that direction. The idea is that we would take all the good that God has brought into our lives, our good resources, our good strength, our good friendships, our good connections with people, and that we would offer the good of our lives to share it with other people, that we would listen for what God wants us to do with all the good that he's brought into our life. And this amazing thing happens is that God speaks and he shows us a way forward. He gives each of us a unique step that we can take. And if we're just bold enough to say yes to what he's inviting us to do, life fills up for us and life fills up for others in all the best ways. And so we hope every single one of us will lean in, maybe for the first time, or lean in again for another round of For Life.
Well, good morning, and we're grateful all of you here this weekend. It was good to hear from Pastor Drew. I'm going to talk about him a little bit in a few minutes. And welcome online, all of you. 769 of you tuned in last weekend. That's kind of cool. And we're glad you're here as we launch this For Life series. And to those that are keeping score, say that you were here 8 months ago, you've noticed that we invested 4 weekends in February on this For Life idea. You notice that in May, we invested 2 weekends on this For Life idea. And here we are in September, investing 2 more weekends in For Life. And just to preview of coming attractions, in February of 2019, we're scheduled to invest 3 more weeks in this idea. And just by observation, you know, I may not be the world's smartest man, but I've noticed something. It must be important if we as a church family are re-emphasizing, reintroducing, recasting vision, renewing a commitment to something, and it is important. It's important because there's this big idea. We want it to be our lifestyle, our way of life. And why? Because this big idea of joining Jesus and bringing life to everyone, everywhere, every day, it's like we're serious about this. Joining Jesus to bring life to everyone, everywhere, every day. And unpacking that phrase that we say just a little bit, because we join Jesus initially, and we're all about that as a church family, inviting people into this relationship with Jesus. And folks come from all kinds of places where they eventually grow to a point to say this very strong statement: I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He's my Lord and Savior. To get to that point, you move from hurt and frustration and skepticism and doubt and questioning, and then you start to believe. And then you hear the truth that God is the source of life, that he made everything, and that God made you, that you're not an accident, and you're here on purpose. And in this world that God has made, he's given us choice, which means there's good and evil. And there's good and evil in the world, and there's good and evil in your heart, where you've known right and chosen wrong, and you've known wrong and done it anyway. And we learn that sin separates us from a holy God because he's holy and we're not. And that the source of life, if we're separate from that, then that leads to death. And then there's this word that we hear called grace. And grace is a gift. And in the heart of it is this word forgiveness. And forgiveness is offered, and through forgiveness, we can be made right with God. And when we hear that story, we go, that's too good to be true. Are you serious? And the answer is yeah. We begin to believe that just maybe God so loved the world, that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And we learn that Jesus was a man of history, and that he came and he lived and he taught and he healed and he suffered and died and defeated death at the resurrection. Luke, who was a physician, wrote one of the 4 Gospels. And as Luke wrote his gospel, his biography of the life of Jesus that's in the New Testament, And Luke was very accurate, very precise, and he was a great writer, and he recorded this passage in Luke 24, verse 46. And he said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. There's forgiveness of sins for all who repent. That is incredibly good news. Forgiveness of sin for all. And those of us who have believed that to be true and accepted God's amazing grace, we have experienced, we have learned what it means to join Jesus. And we've also learned what it means to keep joining Jesus to get more and more life. The life that comes from that initial time of joining Jesus to the life that comes as we keep joining his ways, joining this relationship. And now I'm going to say a sentence that I believe is absolutely true, and I'm going to repeat it because it's bold. A healthy, growing, deepening relationship with God through Jesus, his son, leads to full, deep, and abundant life. More and more life. A healthy, growing, deepening relationship with God through Jesus' Son leads to a full, deep, and abundant life. More and more life. And when you say that kind of a statement in the culture we're in the world we're in, it's not unusual for somebody just to push back and say, is that true? Really? And even going way back to the beginning, is it possible that the God who's the source of all life, the creator of the universe, wants a relationship with me? Is that even possible? When Jesus taught and tried to bring the clarity of who God is to the world, Jesus, 100% God, 100% human, he said this in Matthew 22 when he was asked a question, teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Well, the law of Moses, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those first five books, and the 613 laws that were given there, laws having to do with the righteousness of God and the holiness of God, important truths, but there was a click that was missing, and it was the personal relationship. So Jesus clarified it by saying this, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Of all the laws, it came down to a relationship with God. It's the point. Jesus kept teaching on this. In John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So our hope, our promise of this full, deep, and abundant life growing in this relationship with God, is it your reality? If that's our hope and our promise, well, let's unpack that a little bit. A relationship is a two-way street, talking and listening. You ever heard that? And I thought when I got married, it would work. I talk, my wife would listen. And then I learned there was more to this relationship than talking and listening. It was talking, listening, talking, and listening. And then I learned that we were doing that and it wasn't always clear. And then we had to learn to talk more clearly and listen more intently. And through the years, our relationship has developed, it has deepened, because we talk better than we used to and we listen better than we used to. Our relationship has grown. Relationship's a two-way street. This relationship with God is a two-way street where you talk and you listen. How's it going? Do you talk and God listens? Does God talk to you and do you listen? How are you doing? It's all about our personal relationship with God. Are you catching this? And if we start to unpack what a personal relationship looks like with God, it's like, okay, do you hang out with him? I mean, think about your other friendships and relationships. You hang out. Do you hang out with God? Is your relationship with God getting better or worse? Is it growing or is it fading? If you're not as close to God as you used to be, who moved? Do we drift away? And if I talked about your relationship and I just asked this simple question, what's your next step? in your relationship with God? What are you going to do? For some of you, the first step is joining Jesus. And those of us that have joined Jesus, what's your next step? To improve. The next step of improving, of growing, of deepening. Are you talking to him and are you letting him talk to you? The first line of this For Life journal just starts this way with a simple statement. A conversation with God can change everything. A conversation with God can change everything. One of the things I love about Drew is how he's passing on to us what has been super helpful to him. And what this book really is a journal. It's a spiritual journal. It's a spiritual discipline of, if I do this, something good happens. And it becomes a prayer, it becomes a personal story. There's a power in writing down and clarifying your thinking and your heart. There's a record of what you've written down that you can reflect back in that season and reread what you and God were up to and remember God's faithfulness. This For Life journal is very, very helpful. I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but while I bring up Pastor Drew, I want to do a sidebar. It's my last shot to just get you guys all prepped and ready for this succession transition that's coming to a church near you very soon. And it's a time to help us get fired up and get ready. In 2 weekends, Pastor Drew's coming back, September 22nd, 23rd, and the title of the weekend is What I Learned on Sabbatical. And all I know is that when one of our pastors leaves for 3 months and hangs out with God, they come back, they're different, and different in a very good way. And it's exciting to hear what God's up to and what happened, and I'm excited to hear from Drew. And just to let you know, Drew really didn't want to do this message, and I'm kind of made him. And the cool thing is that's about all the power I have left to make him do anything, because pretty soon he's going to be my boss. So it's like, one more thing, you got to do this talk. And I'm very curious and excited to hear what God's been up to in his heart. And then in 3 weekends, on September 29th and 30th, is our October 1 weekend service here. We're going to be focusing on that. And the time of remembering is going to be good in reflection and healing. But we're also going to address the big question, the tough question of where was God? Which often happens in crisis and in calamity and tragedy is, where was God? And we're going to talk about that in a very deep way on that weekend. And then on Monday night, 1 October, we're going to remember in a more community-minded way with music and scripture and drums and bagpipes and candlelight. And it's going to be a very meaningful, hopefully healing time for our community. So I encourage you for all of that. And then October 6th and 7th is installation weekend. And that's a don't miss event where we formally install Drew as our lead pastor. And he will begin that weekend vision casting, and he'll continue through the rest of the weekends of October, casting a vision from his heart about how he wants to see each individual's life and how he wants to see our church life and our church family in the future. So it's going to be, in my opinion, incredibly exciting and a wonderful season that we will all remember. And so I'm looking forward to it. Now, another quick sidebar. Some people say, and I haven't talked much about this recently, so what's up with you? What are you going to do? And it's like, okay, I'll tell you. And I want to back up and help you understand this handoff. Back when I was a youth pastor and I went to my first youth ministry class on how to be a youth minister, you learn, well, why don't you disciple the teenagers like Jesus discipled his disciples? That's a great idea. How did he do that? Jesus did it. The disciples watched. Jesus did it. The disciples helped. The disciples did it. Jesus helped. The disciples did it. Jesus watched. You know, that's pretty much training 101 for every fast food restaurant or anything else in the world. Here, watch me do it. Okay, help me. You do it, I'll help. You do it, I'll watch. So in this season of succession, I'm in the season where October 7th is when Drew is going to be the leader and I'm going to help. So we're going into a season where I'm around here. My job description is going to be help as much as I can to make everything as good as possible. And I will now, after October 7th, I will be on Drew's staff. And he'll be my boss. And I'll be at his staff meetings and get to heckle him. And so I'm very much looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. And then I'll stick around as long as it's helpful. And there comes a time when it's right for me to exit. And right now that's the end. The final date would be August 31st of 2019. But if it is right for me to leave before that, we'll discern that and I'll leave when it's helpful, because that's my job in this next season. So what does that mean? What am I going to be when I... Oh, by the way, the elders, Andrew and I, and other from conventional wisdom, but also talking it through, believe it is right that when we do exit the staff, that there'll be a year break where I won't come to church here for a year, so that there can be a great season of new beginnings without any distraction. And then after that year, we would come, if we're still in town, which it looks like we're going to be, then we would attend here because this is our favorite church. And so that's kind of what our plan is for the future. And when people say, that's cool, that's helpful, but what about you? What are you going to do? And what I say is, I'm not retiring. I really am not. I got game left, and I'm excited to use it. But I'm transitioning out of this role into a new role. And that new role will have something to do, it looks like, with leadership development and shepherding kingdom leaders. And of that, I'm passionate to do that. I have a heart for pastors and missionaries and leaders of nonprofits and senior leaders of organizations, and to keeping them healthy and keeping them in the game to do good. And so it looks like that's what's up. And so that's that quick sidebar. And now I want to get back to Drew. Drew, in giving us this For Life spiritual journal, is what we're seeing is Drew's heart. Because one of the reasons I choose to trust Drew, based on a couple messages ago you heard, is I trust his heart. And part of his heart is he has an authentic relationship with Jesus. He walks his walk, he walks his talk. And one of his practices in renewing and strengthening and growing deeper in his relationship with Jesus is something called journaling. And journaling is normal. Normal people journal, they just write down events of their lives or whatever they're thinking in some kind of way. And that's a normal thing. Now, this is a journal that someone gave me, and it's really nice, and you open it up, and it's blank pages. All right? Nice journal. And what does this mean? Hey, we want you guys to journal. Here's a book. It's empty. Oh, what do I do? Fill it up. How? How has this really helped my relationship with God? What if we gave you a journal that kind of helped you and focused you and gave you some directions on how to journal and what to journal about? Maybe that would be a great idea. And that's really what this is. It's a way to help your conversation with God have a direction and a focus and a process. And I really like how Drew is taking the time, putting together a group of folks and coming up with this idea to focus us as we have our conversation with God. A direction, a purpose, a focus, instead of just whatever you want to write about, I don't care how you write about it. What if there was some direction? In a conversation with God, he talks to us, we talk to him. How does God talk to us? God's word, his Bible is always part of the conversation. Creation and nature and friends and work of the Holy Spirit and others. God talks to us in a lot of ways if we reflect and listen to it. And that's always part of it. And what if there are some questions that focus us as we think about our conversation with God? And so one of the sections that this book guides us to is to reflect. Sometimes we're so busy with life that we don't think. We don't think and stop to analyze and reflect on our lives. And what if we took the time to reflect with some focus questions? What if we took some time to dream and imagined what could be? With God's help and the truth from his word, what could be the truth? And we can imagine those things. So we can reflect, we can imagine. What if we declared that something needs to change, that there's a new direction, new course, a new something that needs to go on, and we spent the time clarifying that, and then what if we left that conversation with some action steps that we commit to, and we said something like, I will do this. So reflecting, imagining, declaring, and acting, four ways of focusing a conversation that will lead to a deeper relationship with God. And what if these goals or these I will statements were something that we looked at for the next 3, 4, 5 months? And why would we do that? In all honesty, Drew is attacking this on our behalf because of the shift in generations. Back when I was leading this 25 years ago, very often our church would have a 3-year campaign or a 2-year campaign. And people would make commitments to be lived out for 3 years or 2 years. And then, okay, maybe a one-year campaign. And one of the things about our younger generation is that's a long time for them and a whole lot of culture shifts in that time. But what if we made some ideas that were commitments for 3 or 4 months? We can do that. And so that's what this emphasizes. In the immediate next season of our life, let's go this direction. At the end of that season, let's rethink and do the next season. And that's how you get a year, by 3, 4 months. And you guys can figure that out. And it's a great idea, and part of the reason why we're bringing this back every 4 months is to have us recommit, rethink, renew, and start over. We're suggesting that you guys get new books, and they're going to be sold out back, $5 for each book, or three for $10, or 25 for, no, I forget, they got to sign out, though, they'll tell you. But you get more, they're less money. And we always have extra. People pay extra. So if you can't afford one, we'll give you a book because we want you to have this conversation with God. And our hope, by the way, we've sold about 3,500 of these journals in our past two cycles. And so there is a shot that some of you have a book that you haven't opened yet. And use that one, okay? Just use the one you got and get it going. Or you can buy a new one. It's been revised a little bit. And you will be focused on 4 areas of life that God has given you good and how you can pass that good to others. Good connections, good friends, good strengths, and good resources. And this weekend, I'm going to talk about 2 of those. And next weekend, Jay is going to talk about 2 of those as we remind ourselves and renew our direction over the next months about what God wants to do with us and how we can grow deeper in our relationship with Him. So let's start a conversation about good connections. What do we mean by that? Well, here's a way of understanding it. Who's in your network or in your household? And this word household is a specific word that I'm taking from the New Testament Greek. Oikos is the word for household. But it's in Acts 16, where it's in the middle of a story of Paul and Silas, 2 missionaries that were significant, arrested in jail, a big miracle happened, and the jailer and his household got impacted by these 2 Christian missionaries. And here's this sentence in Acts chapter 16. He brought them into his house and set a meal before him, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. That was his network, this jailer, this man who had great responsibility. He invited in these missionaries, and their story and this miracle changed his life. Your household, your connections, your neighbors. A couple stories just to highlight this. A friend of mine who was talking to me this week told a story that is exactly what this is about. He has, his life has been changed, and God met him here at the Ridge. And so he's in a golf league, and he has this line that he always tries to say with the guys he's golfing with. And the line is this: hey, if you give me 8 hours, it'll change your life. And the reason he says that is because he came to church 8 times, and his life was changed. It took him a while to believe, and when he did, it's changed everything. And so that's his formula. Hey, if you give me 8 hours, it'll change your life. What the good he received, he's trying to pass on. The problem is, over 9 years of golfing with a variety of these guys, he's got 0 bites. No one has said, okay, I'll go to church with you. None, 0. He's getting a little discouraged. It's been 9 years, nobody says yes. And then he's golfing, and this guy who was teeing off turns around afterwards. He goes, you know what, my life just isn't working. And the guy had just gone through a chapter that wasn't pleasant. And he goes, it's just not working. Maybe I need to try church. Anybody here know a good church I can go to? And my buddy's standing there going, yes, I do. And guess what? Big Al's here. He was at men's breakfast yesterday. And there's a new start for Big Al because of this good connection of a friend. Thursday, actually, I went down to UMC emergency to the hospital in the emergency room because one of our leaders at church was taken in, and they're doing okay now. But while I was there, I had to talk to the security guard and to get back to where I needed to go. And in the course, there was a delay, and in the course, I just started talking to the guy. And I found out a few things about the security guard at UMC Hospital. He's from Chicago. He is a Bulls and Bears and White Sox fan. He's been in Vegas 6 years. He's been a security guard for 9 months. He played basketball in high school, and he got to play once in the United Center where he scored 23 points, and he didn't score anymore because he wanted to honor Michael Jordan because that was his court. Okay, and in the course of that conversation, he found out that I came to town 25 years ago to plant a church and that I'm a pastor. I have no idea what's going to go beyond that conversation. But you know what? We talked, and we made a connection. When you care about people, you talk to people. And when you talk to people and love people, you develop a connection, and that connection can lead to something that can become a good connection instead of just those people, those people. What if you reflected on your connections? What if you imagined what the connections could become? What if you declared that this is the kind of person I want to be as I connect with people? What if you acted and said, I will, over this next 4 months? Conversation about your good connections. How about another conversation? This one's about your good friends. Your good friends. What do we mean by that? And there's lots of ways to define friendship, but I'm going to just use this simple one. It's not comprehensive, but it sure does help. With whom do you share your burdens with? With whom do you share your burdens with? You know, there's a lot of lonely people in the world, a lot of disconnected people, a lot of people hungry for friends, real friends. And when you say, do you have friends? And they go, oh, yeah. Who? Well, what kind of friends? Acquaintances? People I know their names? People I don't even know their names? Or friends that know my burdens? Friends that ask the question, how you doing really? And you know they really care about it. James 5:16 is a great passage, has lots of implications. I'm going to use one. And confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. It's a great passage. But the part in there I want to point out is you pray for one another. You pray for each other. And my question is, who's praying for you? Who knows what you need prayer for? Who have you shared that burden with? And I believe that that's something that God, in God's design, he wants all of us to have that kind of friend, a friend that prays for us. In Galatians 6:2, it says, share each other's burdens in this way, obey the law of Christ. There's something about us carrying each other's burdens, helping each other with our burdens that is godly. It's the law of Christ of loving God and loving people. One of the things we believe around here in this good connection, good friends idea is we try to create an atmosphere for people to develop those kinds of connections and friendships. And so we do these group connect ideas. We believe in life groups, that people getting into a group is good for you so that you can live a more full, deep, and abundant life. And after this service in the chapel, there's going to be some food, and if you are not in a life group and you didn't even sign up to go to one of these group connections, you could still go to today, yes. And if you're wanting to watch a football game, record the thing and come here and go get some food and get into a group because the opportunity is there. We had 680 folks sign up for the group connection events this weekend, and that's awesome, but there's still room for you. So you can go there today and get going. Because good friends, when we start thinking about it, someone that carries your burdens, how you doing with that? This week, because this message was on my mind, I started listening to the stories I was hearing from you in a different way. And this one lady came in to have a conversation, someone I've known for 14 years, and she's special. She's frail, and she survived a very severe car accident 14 years ago. And she had a severe brain injury that put her into a long-term coma, and she finally woke up, and when she did, she was different. And she had to learn everything all over, including how to talk, lots of years of speech therapy. And she's been in a wheelchair for a number of years. Comes to the Ridge, joins a life group. And this life group accepted her into their group with the challenges that she had, which were challenge after challenge through the years, and they've done life with her. And when I thanked them for the care they've given her, they said, oh, no, you don't understand. She's an inspiration to us. And she is. She's a fighter. Fights. And has lasted this long and lives independently, and it's a miracle. However, this is a new one. And the new one, the new burden is this. She needs a surgery, another surgery. And this one, because her systems are so frail, she may not survive the surgery. Chances are she may not. And even if she does survive, chances are it's not going to extend her life that many months more than if she doesn't do the surgery. And so it's a tough decision, but she has chosen to fight because that's who she is, so she's going to have the surgery. And listening to the rest of this was so humbling, because that's humbling. That's sacred to have that kind of a burden that somebody shares with you. But the next part got me, because her family has helped her, but in this season for this surgery, they are not able to handle it. So she now is totally alone, except for a life group. And she's asked one of her sisters in Christ in the life group to be the person that will be the power of attorney. In case, I mean, she's put her affairs in order and her will and her trust and all the orders medically. But she is asking this sister in her small group to be the power of attorney. And I'm sitting there going, no, we do life groups because we want friends. We do life groups to bring some food, to watch the game together, to have a Bible study together, pray for each other once in a while. You want a sister in Christ to be your power of attorney in your life group. See, we bear each other's burdens. And in that way, we so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm humbled and pleased that this kind of love is in one of our life groups. And we do life groups that can lead to potential friendships that are that deep, where we become brothers and sisters, and we can choose to live life shallow, or we can go deep. And I just want to say, we didn't come to Vegas 25 years ago to build a church where we play church. We came here to build the church that is the church. And I'm humbled and pleased. I'm just going to ask you, do you have good friends? If you reflected upon your friendships, if you imagined friendships and what they could be, if you declare what they could become, and if you started to act, I will do what to make your good friendships deepen. So here we are for life. Some of you are saying, again, and I'm saying yes. Some of you are saying, what is it? It's this. It's a way to have a conversation with God with some focus to it, with some areas of your life that if you choose to enjoy God in a conversation with, it'll lead you to a full, deep, and abundant life. So some of you, you're ready to give it another shot? For some of you, is it time to finally try this? And for some of you, is it time to open the book you bought in the past? For some of you, is it time to go out and get one of these and give it a shot this fall? And here's, how can I motivate you? I don't know. I'll dare you. I'll double dare you. I don't know. Whatever it takes. I'd almost pay you, but that wouldn't work either. It's up to you. And what if you chose to do something about your connections, your good connections? What if you said this? I have routines. I go to the dry cleaner, I go to the grocery store, I go here, go there, and I see these same people. What if you took the time to get to know their name and get to know their story? Maybe that's an I will statement for a good connection. Or what if in your good friends, if you think about one of your friends, you reflect on them and you realize it's been neglected and you need to focus some attention, what if you called them up, said, let's do coffee? And for an hour, you turned off your cell phone and you gave them an uninterrupted conversation. Well, I don't know what your conversation with God will lead you to do, but what if you did reflect? What if you did declare and say, I will? What if you bought a For Life journal and got going? And what I want to motivate, encourage, inspire us all to do is to join Jesus and to keep joining Jesus and to start a conversation that will change everything, that will lead to more and more life. Let's stand together to pray. God, as we stand here, we confess that we're humbled and almost can't believe that you want a relationship with us. And God, we're thankful that life does have meaning and purpose and that you can help us grow deep and have a full, deep, and abundant life. And even though life is hard and there's evil in this world, that living life with you adds meaning and purpose. And I pray that you'll help us as we grow in our relationship with you. And I pray that we'll do our part. You've sent Jesus to die, you've offered grace, and you've saved us. But it's our job to show up with you, to talk to you, to listen to you. And God, I pray that we'll take it seriously. We won't just assume our relationship, but we'll get active. And be with us as we develop our good connections. And be with us as we deepen our good friendships. And help us as we live this one and only life in a way that is full, exactly how you designed it. God, I thank you for that vision and that hope. And we want to join you as we live it out together. I ask that you'll be with us as we go, and you'll give us the strength to live out what we talked about. And we thank you for the hope that we have. And we ask for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. We have prayer down front or in the lobby, connect at the corner. And if you want food in the chapel, and join a group. Thanks for coming. See you next weekend.